What's going on, everybody? Huge shout out to our PTG fam. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. This episode is amazing. We had Tom Cole, the president of the NXL, on, and he gave us a bunch of insight on the state of the league, some really cool concepts and different ideas that they have, and just his outlook on paintball. Tom is somebody who has been working in the industry, and especially with the leagues, for as long as I can remember, and just has a ton of amazing insight. I think you guys are going to really, really like this one. This episode is brought to you by Savage Paintball. Savage Paintball is an amazing new sponsor of ours. I have personally used this product well before our deal with Play the Game, and it's amazing. It's a cold rolled steel magnetic board, so extremely durable, with these 3D printed bunkers that allows you to visualize the layout for whatever tournament you're getting ready for. I love this thing. I have it set up right here on my coffee table right now. Shout out to Tim Montressor. I've got his layout up there. And it's actually the team that I am coaching right now is playing on the Tim Montressor layout in their next event. So it's been great for me to just keep in my living room so I could look over all the angles, make sure I have all of the shots and concepts and ideas going in my mind. Another really cool thing about this company is if the NXL or any league that you are playing updates their bunkers, you know, their bunker systems, they've been known to do that every couple of years. They like to add a new one or take away something. Savage Paintball will make sure you are taken care of and update your bunker kit. It is also 100% refundable. If by for any reason you are not satisfied with your purchase, you can send the board back and they will give you your money back. And I think that's amazing customer service. So you guys could head over to savagepaintball.com and check them out. If you want to get the Play the Game custom board, it is on their website. If you would like to get one of your own customizable boards with your team logo or your business logo or anything like that, you can also do that. And if you enter code PLAYTHEGAME at checkout, you'll get 10% off. It's an amazing way for you guys to support the show. Tyler and I greatly appreciate it. And again, these things are amazing. They're so awesome for visualization, making sure that you remember everything that you have learned during your practices. This episode is also brought to you by Transfuse. Transfuse is our absolute most favorite electrolyte hydration, awesome drink. We love this stuff. I've been taking it every single day. It's had me feeling really good, especially with travel. I just got back from a long weekend, and when you're flying, your body really gets run down. I'm sure you guys have all heard that you need to hydrate when you fly. So what better way than with Transfuse? And again, my favorite part about this drink, one of, I guess, is the amazing vitamins that it also has. Vitamin C, zinc, vitamin B. These are vitamins that are amazing for the brain, amazing for cognition, mental clarity, and also the immune system. Zinc and vitamin C both play a huge role in boosting your immunity, really just making you have more energy overall. So we love this stuff. It's been fantastic. They have tons of awesome flavors. I personally recommend the watermelon lime, but you guys could head over to their website and see which flavor works for you. Their website is translabs.com. That's TRANZLABS.com. And again, if you guys use code PLAYTHEGAME at checkout, you get 10% off. And also, it's an amazing way to support the show as well. We truly appreciate it. And we know that it's going to make your quality of life better. So we only promote stuff that we truly believe in and believe is going to make your lives better. So check them out. And, you know, as usual, if you guys get any of this stuff, make sure to tag us on Instagram. We love to reshare that stuff. We love to see you guys kind of part of the culture. So with that said, this episode is also brought to you by G2 Paintball. G2 Paintball is a performance athletic, paintball athletic driven brand that is designed to make you a better paintball athlete. If you guys follow Tyler or G2 Paintball on Instagram, you saw that over the weekend they had this awesome G2 clinic, and it looked like those guys out there were getting cooked. Sorry, I say guys, I did not see any females out there, but there have been tons of females that come through the G2 Paintball camp, even most notably some of the ladies that played for the Team USA squad. So shout out to them. Shout out to all the G2 participants. It's an amazing program. It is literally designed to make you a better athlete, both on and off the field, but the type of fitness and type of training that the G2 program does is all based around paintball. And you guys hear me talk about it all the time. We had Scott Kemp on, and you know, he's big into fitness, always has been. And even he was saying the importance of training for whatever activity it is you're doing. You know, you could go and run 5-6 miles a day, but you can play 1 point of paintball and be extremely exhausted. It's because you're not training correctly. You need to train for paintball specific movements, and G2 Paintball does exactly that. It is also owned and operated by part of the Dynasty family, Victor Gamboa and Rusty Glaze, and they just do an amazing job. I know Tyler and myself look forward to working with them in the future, and we just love the entire G2 fam. Shout out to Grayson Gladstone as well, one of the G2 sponsored athletes. He was just out at the Ultimate Shootout, the one-on-one series this weekend. He had a pretty good performance. And he's been working with us for quite some time now. Grayson is awesome, young up-and-coming player, and just major love for him. So you guys can head over to g2paintball.com to find out more information, see what it's about, and if you guys have any questions, as always, feel free to reach out. We are happy to help. Without further ado, we're going to hop in the episode. We will see you in there.
That was an insane inside move by Marcelo Margot. Great communication.
Crowd starts chanting Harmon.
Great shot by all the guys. Though Tyler Harmon saved that game.
Came out with two wins. Marcelo Margot was on fire.
Recording.
Yo, Tom Cole. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Dude, you're a legend. We're honored to have you on the show. And thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, no worries. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You've been a part of so many different organizations in paintball. Some very famous ones. Can't wait to talk about Bad Company, the different leagues that you've ran, and obviously president of the NXL now. And, you know, we're in some kind of crazy times, but how are things for you?
Things are good. Things are going pretty good. I mean, I'm not happy. I mean, going to paintball events is really part of what I do, right? So totally. The fact that's kind of been on lockdown kind of sucks, having to see everybody and do the thing, right? So
yeah, it's been brutal. Oh my God. I personally am just like, it's like torture for me. I want to get out and obviously play all these tournaments, but you know, we're doing the best we can. We're staying safe and we're continuing to do fun things to boost the game, which is what we got to do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Yeah. We did just see you guys officially announce that the regional events have been canceled.
Correct.
Not happening. So do you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, we really wanted to try and do some regional stuff to keep people playing and then give some money back to the parks. And I really believe that a lot of this would have passed over by now. Yeah. I thought we would be well on our way. And we were just looking at it as kind of a stopgap. And then, to be honest, the passing of Tim put a little bit of a damper on our lives in general, but also our plans to move forward. So we kind of at that point started watching it really closely to see what we wanted to do. And we just really didn't want to jeopardize World Cup. We didn't want another little outbreak inside the paintball community and have people not want to have World Cup happen, which is a big deal to us and the industry.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, Tom, you touched on something important there. Tyler and I have been talking about it quite a bit, actually. Paintball parks have started to reopen, and there's some little local events that are going on. And we're just trying to encourage people at these paintball events to do their best with social distancing. We understand it's super hard. You get it where we've been kind of pent up for, you know, months now. You finally get out to go play and see your friends, but we do still need to do the right things when we're at the fields. Cause like you said, one of the worst things that could happen is we have an outbreak that traces back to one of these events. You know, it's something we definitely don't
correct.
Want.
Plus, and we're bringing in people from everywhere. Even if a small event was going to happen, like the number one question I got about the regional thing was, were we going to allow people from outside the region to play?
Yeah.
And, you know, how am I going to manage that? You know what I mean? And so I would be worried about bringing it. Plus, I'm going to put all you guys together. Paintball people are not exactly easy to manage. And so I'm pretty sure you guys would have wanted to go out and have a good time, or maybe put eight people in a hotel room and all those things that we're used to doing.
Hey, not on Dynasty, man. We roll two to a room. We live in luxury over here, you know?
Yeah. And I know you go to bed early. I have heard that it's a room. The party Dynasty days are over.
Yeah, those are long gone.
I know. Nobody wants to have nobody wants to have fun anymore, man. They don't want to have fun.
Nobody wants to have fun,
Such a shame.
We commend you, Tom. We know that this is hard times, dude, and you guys are doing an outstanding job with what you've been dealt. We've never had to deal with this ever before, and you know. It's crazy. Yeah, so what are some of the hurdles that like you know, the states and just the being here in the US are putting in our way?
Well, so we also have the European factor, right? So we're going to be announcing here in a couple days that we're not going to do the next European events. We're going to have only one event in Europe as well. But basically, it just comes down to whether the cities are going to allow us to have these get-togethers. And I've kind of basically retreated to World Cup and the ICPL. So we have one ICPL coming to Chicago, which I think is pretty easy to run. And then the World Cup. And we've been probably talk weekly with the city of Kissimmee to try and discuss what our options are there. So Disney opened up this week. We're watching how their stuff goes. Florida seems pretty committed to staying open.
Yeah.
And we're just going to have to put some stuff in place that probably won't make everybody happy. Like, we're going to do one-way traffic throughout the event. We're going to have lots of cleaning stations. We're going to have a special group of people that are going to help clean the buzzers and the pits between matches.
Awesome.
So we got to do what we kind of do. So,
yeah.
It's just amazing to hear that we still want to try to make World Cup happen. And, you know, all the extra precautions are, you know, again, it's strange times. We've never experienced anything like this. So we just got to do the best we can. And, you know, that's it. So thank you for making sure that that's on the forefront.
Yeah, no worries. And it's like a changing target, right? Like, so I have lots of I hedge, right? I'm always trying to find a backup plan.
Of course.
And so we may try and spread World Cup over 2 weekends and have X Ball only on one weekend and the 5-man and 10-man on another weekend.
Yeah.
We may limit the amount of teams that can participate in World Cup. It all really depends on the restrictions Florida imposes on us as far as people per acre. But we will definitely probably have pretty strict timelines of when you could be there. So if you're the morning division, you will only be able to be there in the morning, the afternoon division, and we'll try and get those people on and off the site.
And we're talking about still 3 to 4 months, you know, about 4 months out here. So
exactly. Yeah. So we still have plenty of time for a lot of this stuff to change. So
totally.
So we're just kind of come up with different options and move forward and hope that they stay that way.
Which is a phenomenal opportunity for us all out there. If you're listening, man, let's do our part. Let's, you know, talk about doing our best to keep things sanitary and the social distancing and do our part so that in 3-4 months we can be out playing paintball, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the big picture was we didn't want to have the regional events jeopardize that. Right. If I have COVID-19 and I come meet all you guys and I'm giving it to you guys, then it's going to really quickly go through that circle. We just wanted to let that kind of go through its paces and give us a chance to have World Cup.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah. We need World Cup, man.
We need World Cup. Yes.
That's like the saving grace of the year.
The Ironmen win the series, right?
I know. I've been rooting for the Ironmen for a long while now because I really felt like they deserved to win, but I don't want them to win the series after their first win right there. I think that'd be a little bit of a quick end there.
You got to let me know. How are we going to navigate this? Because, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They can't win the series of winning one
tournament.
That's
what I'm saying. We're going to have that World Cup. So I do believe no matter what happens, we will have a World Cup of some site. So we will, at the worst possible scenario, we would just limit it to the pros and semi-pro teams. And that's what I meant about doing stuff over the different weekends. If they say we can only have – so the property is 55 acres. So right now the restrictions are about 50 people per acre. So we will be able to make something work. It's just as long as they haven't completely shut down the state again. So we would do something even in the limited thing and webcast it or do something. So your chances of you know, at least getting a chance to battle against the Ironmen to make sure they don't win.
There we go.
It'll be there. They're on a roll right now. They've won every tournament they've played this year. So they're ready to crush some people.
They are, man. Dominators, man. Good job, Dominators. Way to go.
So, Tom, you know, on this show, we really like to get into the backstory of how people got into paintball because I think everybody shares that common love for the game. And, we all have pretty similar stories and connections through paintball. How did you start playing paintball? What was your first time like? What was it that got you hooked?
I was probably skipping school at the time, but I was at a hunting store or an outdoor store, and I ended up seeing a little flyer for it. And I always think back, I'm like, that 10-cent flyer has earned this industry a lot of money. I've spent a lot of money playing paintball since that time. But we went with a group of friends from school, and we went and played. And actually, like, paintball back then was mostly people in their they were old to me back then, but they're probably in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Long was just starting, and he's probably 38. But so we went and played, and we did really well, and they used to divide everybody up. So we played against the home team as my friends and the other rental guys. And one of the guys there asked me to play for their team the next time.
Nice.
And I thought it was a little weird, and I didn't want to do that. And they said they were going to South Africa to play. Yeah, it's just, you know, I was a kid. You know what I mean? I wanted to hang out with my friends to play with my friends. So he told me they were going to South Africa for a paintball tournament. I was like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Whoa.
And then we continued to play together, my group of friends.
Real quick, hey, Tom, I apologize to interject there. When was this? What year was this?
I'm going to say 1985.
My goodness. Yeah, awesome. This is, 100%.
Maybe 1986.
This is our roots right here.
Yeah.
So we went on, continued to play, and we got really pretty much into paintball. We kind of started to fall in love with it with my group of friends. And then I see a paintball magazine with those guys on the cover winning a tournament in South Africa. So, and it was a team called Green Machine, and I've been a little salty about it ever since. But, that, you know, they got to go to South Africa and they got to play and all this stuff. So it was pretty cool. But at that point in time, we were kind of, you know, cocky. And we were like, well, if we were good enough to get asked for them, we should start our own team. And then that's how we ended up with Bad Company. So our first tournament I know we played was in 1986. So that's why I'm trying to – I don't know how long ago it was we started.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So – and then there was other teams called Bad Company at the time. There was a Bad Company UK and a Bad Company Florida. And they had an event to try and compete for the name. And I was so mad that they didn't invite us that I went on like a tangent of trying to play every tournament we could so that if anybody thought of a team called Bad Company, they would know it was us, not one of those other two. We did outlast them.
Well, you sure did, because you guys became the official Bad Company. You guys
became the official Bad Company for a while. I'm sure my teammates hated it because I don't know how it completely works today on the beginner level, but like my guys paid for everything.
Of course.
You know, we had to pay all our own way and all our paint and, you know, I was like a slave driver. And you think back, like, how weird was it? You know, you have a guy flies to a tournament in California, and I go, you're going to go to this spot, and you're going to bunker that guy, and you're going to die in the first minute. And you're going to do that six times. I appreciate all the money you spent to get here. You know what I mean? Like, how crazy is that to be that front guy? So,
yeah, really, huh? Seriously. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Because a lot of listeners maybe don't know about the heritage of Bad Company. It's not around anymore, but Bad Company was one of the most badass paintball teams ever to play the game.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, there was definitely the Ironman, Avshock, All-Americans. They were definitely better than us in the day, but we were definitely that fourth or fifth tier team that was always kind of vying for them or whatever. So
totally. And that team was
from those same group of guys that I started playing with my original friends from school. And obviously through time they kind of went phased out, but for the first couple of years, that's basically who we played with.
And can you kind of name off some of those players that were on the original Bad Company?
Yeah, I can name them all, but you all aren't going to know who any of them are. John Bosley, John Bosley, Sean Alaconis, those Tommy Thompson. I mean, so they stopped playing probably right as the guns started going to semi-automatic. Because when we played back then, we were playing with pump guns.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Tom, you mentioned something kind of interesting at the beginning of that, of how you got into the game. You saw this flyer at a hunting store. Has the NXL, have you guys thought about putting together any kind of paintball flyers that go out? Maybe you guys do. I don't even know. But you, like you said, that 10 cents has gone a long way.
It was the best one. Yeah. So we actually, we did a deal this year with the city of Kissimmee and Uno's Pizzeria. Nice. So they put the flyers out at all the pizzerias in the Florida, like the Orlando metropolitan area, and the city went out and put out like another couple hundred thousand. Beautiful. And we've had street teams, mostly at World Cup. We do this because that's kind of an event that I really feel like we could bring an outside person in.
For sure.
And so we do send some street teams out and stuff like that. It's, it is one of the things that, because of this break, I am trying to reevaluate some of our stuff and kind of put more effort into it. Gotcha. I mean, most people don't realize this, but we started the NXL in 2015. It was kind of like a whirlwind. Like, I was driving to find, we had announced locations that I didn't even have yet. you know, I said we were going to the World Cup and I didn't have a venue in Orlando. Yeah. So
you ended up getting
one of
the
jumping
best
in my
venues.
Car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'd be a great venue. Right. I drove halfway across the country constantly trying to find all these venues. So we've always been chasing our tail kind of with the organizational side of things.
Yeah.
And so now that we have this little lull, I can kind of reevaluate that and put some efforts back into some stuff.
I feel like that's showbiz, baby.
I know, huh? Showbiz. Seriously.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
And 2019 World Cup was huge. I mean, what an event that was. And then we just got slapped right in the face coming right into the next year.
Well, even Vegas was pretty epic.
Yeah. That's
you know what I mean? I mean, Vegas was really good. And I really felt like the industry was starting to turn around and get over a hump there we had for a little while. So,
I think it will.
I thought Vegas was great.
It'll overcome all of this. We've just got it like, it's just choppy water right now. We've got to navigate this choppy water and get to clear seas, you know?
Well, one other thing that's happened. So in my entire, so I'll give you like the breakdown of like how I see the tournament world going on. Right. So back when I started, everybody that played paintball and everybody that owned a field and owned a business, we'll use Dave Youngblood as an example, right? Uh-huh. He didn't start die because he was the business guy. He started die because he was a paintball player and he played tournament paintball, right? Yeah. So everybody that I interacted with was on a tournament team. So if you had to go play at a park, that guy played on the tournament team. Everybody kind of did that.
Yeah.
And then in the, let's talk about like 1995, let's say, there was a switch in the industry where a lot of those guys stopped playing and they started just running their parks. And they started to really like not want people with their own equipment coming to the parks. And it was a slow trend in the United States. In Europe, it was faster, but they kind of started really phasing out those guys that own their own equipment. And now during this COVID, and they always think, because the rentals are really where they make their money, right? Birthday parties and the corporate outings and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But during diversity, like what we're seeing now, the people that are chomping to get back out and play at the parks, and one of the people that are kind of helping them get started again are people that own their own equipment.
Yeah.
Because we're hooked, right?
Yeah,
you don't
have
to try and – you don't have to convince some mom and her kids to come play paintball in this crazy time. They just got to tell us the time and a place that we go.
That's right, yeah.
So I think the industry has seen –
paintball players are waiting for one of the big NXL events to happen too. You know, I know that. I've been out to quite a few parks and paintball players want to play paintball, you know?
Yeah. It's been,
I like to think so.
Yeah.
I like to think so. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you hear it all day long, you know? I mean, they're just
all
like,
day
on.
Long. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I get mixed. We just did a conference call with the European pro teams and they seemed, we were given them the option whether to do an event in September or just do one event in October.
Yeah.
And they really felt like September was too early to get back out there and start. I mean, they want to play,
but
they're just worried about the travel restrictions and all that stuff. So,
absolutely. And safety is number one, obviously. That's
safety is number one.
That's what we got to make sure we do everything smart and safe and that we protect our paintball community. That's it.
Correct. It's a small one, so we got to keep an eye on it. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, because you know, it's a delicate fabric and we got to make sure we nurture it and do it properly.
Yeah. So Tom, how and when exactly, obviously you started as a player and like you said, most of people that are in the industry, they started as players for the love of the game. Again, that's why we love the show. We've been able to talk to so many players or industry leaders so far that it truly is from the love of the game. But when was it that you first kind of made that transition into running the leagues and making your way into the position you're at now?
Well, so it was really through like the first paintball coup. The pro teams at the time did not want to continue playing a series called Lively Productions. A guy named Jim Lively, a good friend of mine, was running a tournament series back in the day. He was really one of the people that kind of created the 10-man tournament world that we know now as our tournament series. He ran a little series of stuff. But it was ran by one paint. He only had one paint sponsor at a time. So that caused a problem for us because the pro teams, we obviously wanted to shoot whatever paint we wanted. So we got together. I'm going to say it was 13 of us got together to create the first NPPL.
Wow. And wait,
God
what year
knows
was this?
What year that was. I'm going to say 1993. 1993.
Awesome.
Because – So we went to Chicago. Rennick was one of the people instrumental in getting me there, but it was Bob Long, me, Fred Schultz, Kevin Donaldson, a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And we just decided that we wanted to do our own tournament series. We still continued to play the Lively thing, but we wanted to run our own series to think the way we wanted to do it. We were super competitive. So as we, the Lively series was kind of like started out in the very beginning of paintball tournaments. So their rules weren't that good yet. I can still remember Shaner arguing with the ultimate referee because the guy was like, you're getting a 25-point penalty for an unobvious hit. And Shane's like, well, if it's in obvious, how do I know it's there? Right? So it's an obviously hole in your argument. And so they were never concerned. I should say they weren't concerned about, but the reffing wasn't that good. It's the same thing that brings
same
every
as today, right?
league to the like, end. Yeah, same thing. The reffing wasn't good. The paint sucked. No one cares about it.
I gotta say this real quick, because every single I do a lot of coaching, right? I coach a lot of divisional teams in their regional events, and it's the one thing that I hear the most, and I just almost shut off when they start complaining about reffing. Because I'm like, look, one, I've reffed. As a professional paintball player, I reffed a league, Mike Kidman's league, WCPPL, and I like to think that I'm pretty experienced. This was in 2009. I had already been playing pro for multiple years. I know what to look for out there. It is a hard job.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you do get it wrong. If it's a trade, rarely is it actually malicious. And so many divisional teams and players, they're like, oh, they're out to get me. You
know? They had to get me, yeah.
Totally.
We don't even know they are.
Yeah.
I too have been reffing forever and feel like I'm good at the job. But I actually, y'all were playing at UWL in Mesquite. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that. Those are the best times of my life.
So at some point in time, I called Frank Connell out. Like, one of you guys was battling with him, and I was like, you're dead. And he's like, where? And I'm like, oh, my bad, you're not. You're still out, because I told everybody you were dead. And he just, you know, and Frank's somewhat hostile sometimes, right? But once I told him I was wrong, but he was still screwed, he was like, all right, cool. I got it. Totally, that was a good tournament.
Totally. Yeah, man. Oh, the UWL, that was the best.
This is where I'll take my shot at Bear here. That's where I pulled Bob Long aside and I said, you were doing really good, but Bear made you like half as good.
Yeah.
Because I said, so you need to get Bear off the field. I remember you guys wanted to go through those tunnels and you so wanted to go kill people. Yeah. And Bear was like, no, we got to go check on the other side. I was like, no, go bayonet some dudes, man. I don't want to watch y'all back up. And then so he worried.
Yeah. Huh? You got to go get those guys.
That was a good event. Yeah, it was a good event.
Honestly, Tommy, those UWLs, for everyone that plays Call of Duty, it's like domination. Call of Duty domination. There's four flags on the field. It is so much fun. We played those with Bob Long for a couple seasons and won a few of them and had a great time out there.
Yeah, they were definitely fun. They were a little hectic to ref because you guys were something else. The Mesquite was tough. That field was tough. Like lots of little alleys and stuff.
That's something that... Oh, sorry, Ty, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it was thick. Like the Mesquite tournament was just
beyond thick. Yeah, beyond thick.
No, I was just going to say that's something that I really love that the NXL has been doing. And, you know, got to pay our respects to Tim, obviously. He really was the pioneer in bringing 10-man back and making it really exciting for a lot of the players.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I just love the whole concept of playing more paintball. And at the NXL events, you guys offer so many options for players to play. When you're at an actual NXL event, you know, you've got the 10 man, it's still on airball, sure, but you've got so many different styles. And I think as a paintball player, that's what we need to be doing because, you know, we have a small demographic that really likes the tournament style of X-ball, but there's a lot of people that like to play paintball, you know, if it's on hyperball or in the woods with their buddies, that's what we need to be pushing.
And it's weird how like narrow we've gotten. And I didn't realize this, but I think at World Cup this year, we had a Jason chosen a layout that didn't have a true snake. Is that correct? Yeah. Uh-huh. But somewhere like I was getting grief that we didn't have a snake. And I was like, nowhere in time did I say we were going to have a Dorito side and a snake side. Right. I didn't even know that was a thing. Obviously we've always had that. So I kind of thought it was a little weird that people were like so mad about it. I was like, God, how one-dimensional can you get? Either you can play paintball or you can't play paintball. If you can only play a snake, then you should go find something else.
One of the greatest parts of one of the greatest parts of the game to me is breaking down different layouts, especially the super unique ones, because there's a code that is to be cracked on every layout, you know? And you've just got to figure it out. And once you figure it out, the field becomes more fun, but people get really frustrated when it's not traditional, you know, air quotes traditional.
Correct.
And they say, oh, this is a stupid layout. No, it's not. Dude, you're still playing paintball. It's your five versus their five or 10 versus their, however many it is. And you got to figure out what the best strategy is on that field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it may not work. And that's part of the thing, too, is different people play different layouts well, right? And so you need to either broaden your horizon, you know, I've said this before. I said Dynasty is one of my favorite teams. And that's one of the things I like about Dynasty is they play – well-grounded on a lot of different types of fields. Mm-hmm, so whereas AC Dallas, I'm going to say I'll probably get in trouble for half this stuff, but AC Dallas I think is better on a defensive field, right?
Yeah, of course.
Impact and the Russian Legion, both I think are doing better when they're just constantly throwing bodies somewhere and it's a clear defined, we have to attack. And both strategies work well.
It's been awesome to watch all the different styles, you know, and I feel like you guys kind of have like a social experiment going on as well, where you set up different things to see, you know, different outcomes. And it's been pretty fun to see all the different styles that we can come up with all these different layouts.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Most of it, we don't know what's going to happen when we come up with it. So,
yeah.
That's another thing. It's not totally easy designing fields. I did submit one to Jason. I hope he releases it, because I feel like mine was pretty damn good. Not gonna lie. Looks like it'd be a fun one. But
no one else sees the fields but Jason at this point, right? So right. I don't even see him. The PSP had a leak. I don't know how they had the leak, but I had a couple teams call me and say, hey, you know, I just want you to know we saw that layout. We won't tell you how and we won't tell you why. But we don't think it's fair that other people get to see the layout, because they know if they saw it once, then someone else is going to see it at a different time. And so now, just to cut out all the chances, I just let Jason do it. He comes up with it, and you know, he's
done a great job.
He hits more home runs than not. So yeah.
And I just want to add, we really, for all the listeners, we got to do a tremendous job of keeping the ICC alive and keeping 10 man alive. This is the funnest paintball. Literally, like, I play top level pro paintball on these airball fields. I'll still say playing 10 man out there running around on those fields is pretty damn fun, right up there with the pro paintball for me.
Yeah, and they still, you know, obviously and unfortunately, they canceled the ICC this year, but we still have the ICPL, you said, right, Tom?
Yep, we're going to do that in Chicago.
Chicago. Yep. Okay, cool. Yep. So, you know, I'm sure that one will be, is it already sold out? I don't even know.
We haven't even opened up registration. Things have been so tricky. Okay. We didn't even open up registration. Gotcha. Yet, so
Well, keep your ears open
to keep
for
an
that.
Eye on things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely be ready for that. When that drops, we can start filling those books up and playing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was been pretty impressed with the ICPL as far as the teams, you know, like the guys that are playing it, they're taking it super seriously and they want to win for sure.
Yeah, and I think that we should have a tournament series with, like, a portion of it woods ball, portion air ball, you know, and get, like, a good mixer going on or something. That'd
You're
be
just
fun.
Trying to get your pistol in there. Just trying to find a way to sneak
for everybody that doesn't
pistol
know.
In the tournament.
Yeah, I sent Tom Cole a long, funny email about how we all need sidearms on the pro field and in paintball in general, and I'm not going to let up on it, Tommy. What's it going to take? What do we got to do?
So I read that whole email and I was like, I don't think he even said what he wanted to do. And I had to reread it a second time to see the sidearm part.
Because
you're like, I think the pro people should have these. And I just kind of, because sidearm's not even on my radar.
You got to read it. You got to read it.
Like, Tyler, I thought you were going to say, you know, we need to do 3-on-3s with the best team, whatever you were going to come up with.
Yeah.
Why do you need a sidearm?
You got to read the email. That's first. All right. Because it was clearly.
Just tell me why.
Well, first of all, it's just badass. If I want to drop my gun down and just go get him with the sidearm, that's bad to the bone. All right.
That would look cool.
And then also, sometimes these other guys who don't shoot field one paintball, their guns go down. You know, if they're not shooting a force. So I'm trying to give them a chance.
Give him a second backup.
But it'd be something like, once you pull the sidearm out, you can't go back to your regular gun.
Yeah,
that's
like,
right.
You know, you go bunker somewhere with your sidearm, you're a real badass.
Has any other pro player said, you know what, I think that's a great idea?
A lot of them. I got a petition started. I have over 300 signatures right now, and I'm working this thing hard. I'm going for it. This is happening.
You sure they're not doing it just to be nice to you? Be like, oh my God,
probably.
I'm going to sign this for you.
Also, we're going to have a whole new market space for HK Army. Buy HK. You can have a new HK pack with the sidearm holster on there. Pull that bad boy out. They got HK guns, field one.
From my point of view, if you want to wear, if the pro guys want to have sidearms, we'll add sidearms.
I got
no problem with sidearms.
Yes. Dude,
you guys look way cool out there.
There we go. Oh my God. World news. This is happening live.
Tyler's been very passionate.
You
got
to get some other pro guys to collaborate that.
Okay.
All right. You can't just be you two.
It's going to take time. We're going to get this. We're getting this going.
I don't feel like Ryan Greasefan's going to want to go for a pistol at any point in time.
Yeah. No one's really listening to him anymore, though, you know?
Got it. Yes.
We're done. He's done.
Done listening to Ryan.
Yeah.
All right. So, Tom, being in your position, I know for so long you've also done so much trying to get outside sponsorship into paintball and help the leagues that you've built. get that notoriety. And NPPL got really close many times. I mean, NPPL was actually on ESPN. You know, there's been so many, I feel like paintball's been so close so many times. I would like to talk to you a little bit about that and what it's going to take for us as a sport to kind of reach that next level and get these outside sponsors interested, you know?
It's a complicated issue,
of
but
course.
Let's take out phases. So yeah. The whole gun thing, right? I'm gonna be candid, right? The gun thing is a problem.
So
right?
The sidearm's a terrible idea.
The sidearm is an additional horrible idea. So
dude, add it to the list. Let's keep it going.
You know, we live in this duality of what is politically correct and then also what the consumers may actually want. So, and I give this story all the time. So I'm always trying to defend paintball. And so we just recently got into like these sports shows, which where like other sports leagues go and they negotiate with cities and different companies to kind of like a place to talk things out and also negotiate going to the cities and going to the different parts. Right.
Yeah.
And so there was a roundtable discussion about video games, the new tournaments that they're doing on video games. Right.
Yeah.
So I went in there and said their Call of Duty was one of the ones there. And there's a couple other ones. And so I'm in an auditorium. It's probably got 300 cities in it.
Wow.
And there's five guys at a round table sitting up there answering questions. And so if I was in their shoes as the five people, yeah. the lady asks a question. She says, hey, I don't like the fact that you guys use guns. I don't like the fact that you count kills. I don't like the fact that you can do all these different things, right? It's obviously a warlike game, right? Not talking to me. She's talking to the Call of Duty people.
Yeah.
Oh.
But if I was in that situation, I would have defended it and been like, they're not guns, they're markers, and we don't really kill each other, and it's not that violent. The Call of Duty guy, and it might not have been Call of Duty, maybe one of the other games, but he basically said, look, this is what we're doing. It's a billion-dollar industry. Everybody's playing the game.
Yeah.
Your city can either want it or not want it, right? Yeah, they didn't apologize at all for the violence in the game. I think one of the games, they actually cut off someone's head and they do a dance or something. So it's like we've spent so much time trying to PC our game to make it something that it's not, in my opinion, right? We are. I mean, in the end, we're a bunch of people running around trying to
shoot
each other, right?
With
in
paint.
The end.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
With paint, right? And it's definitely in our roots of paintball. Now, whether we are now playing more of a sport than we were back then, but in the end, we're playing Army. And as 50% of paintball, at least, is big games and scenarios and stuff like that. So I think those people are moving forward
unapologetically almost, you know, and they're
unapologetically
just,
they're helping us.
Yep, yeah.
They're helping us along because we can kind of tag along with that as being Call of Duty. Call of Duty-esque. And if you guys, the ICPL in Florida that we did, I made a special, we called it a hybrid field, but I built a tank. I had my dad come down there and build an actual tank so that people could hide behind the tank. And I was trying to create that Call of Duty feel to it, right? So you played that field, right?
I caught wind of it. I don't didn't play it.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we built a full-size tank in the middle of the field so that literally every game the webcast would say, and, you know, Dave Baines is at the tank. And we had a little trench. And we had, like, little cannon-looking things that people could hide behind. So we were trying to create a Call of Duty.
Yes. And I agree that we can very well piggyback off of this video game trend that's going on. In the last 10 years, these video games, there's tons of them that are gun-based, are tremendously huge. And paintball can piggyback on that and you know, be able to open new doors for us as well.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're working. I mean, it's definitely a slow process. And like guy told me, he says, no one gets fired for sponsoring the Super Bowl or a golf tournament.
Yeah.
But a paintball tournament, you might get fired for. So we are we're moving into it. And the NPPL did great jobs with that. Trying to get those outside people. We just got to, like I said, we're also significantly bigger than we were back then, right?
Yeah.
Even, and so we've seen, I mean, like if you go to World Cup, like I had a guy from outside the industry come to World Cup and he was like, you guys have done a horrible job explaining this to me because I tell people it's a big event, but they're thinking like, you know, 500 people or something, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty big event.
You think this year or 2019 World Cup was bigger than some of the NPPL days?
It's unquestionably the biggest event that we've ever had.
Wow.
So the biggest World Cup back in the NPPL days was 2002.
Yeah.
So you have the original NPPL before the split, before the PSP and the Chuck Hatch NPPL, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was when it was at its biggest because we only had one league at the time. So everybody was condensed in there.
Uh-huh.
And I think they did a total of 200 teams at World Cup. We had almost 600 at this last one.
So damn.
to be fair though, Tom, are we counting people or teams, right? Because you know how it is right now.
I add some three mans and some two mans. I cheat. I always call it my monkey math. Even then, we're still bigger. It's the biggest amount of people on the grounds ever. And yet, some of you guys double up, right? Some of you play 10-man, some of you play X-ball. But it's definitely the total number of people. We just paintball is just bigger than it was in 2002. As far as just the amount of people playing. And then now we've got the benefit. So you take the running and beaches and stuff, which were epic events, and they really did a lot as far as putting it on the beaches and stuff like that. And keeping it out in people's eyes, but they had the PSP at the same time. So the PSP events were taking, you know, half the players, and the MPBL was taking half the players. And it was a real struggle to get enough bodies at any one place other than the World Cup.
And a lot of people probably don't even remember that there used to be two leagues. It's, you know, we've only had one for so long now.
We've only had one for so long now. Yeah, for sure. There was two leagues forever, for almost forever. And I do like new leagues starting. I've always been a big advocate of new leagues because, you know, you constantly need that blood of ideas and people want to do stuff. And it's an outlet for people that don't like what you're doing, whatever's going on, right? But it is also the one negative that we would ever have is if we ever had two competing leagues again, which I'm sure will happen at some point in time. But then you split those numbers up.
Yeah.
Right? So you end up with, instead of having 1,000 people, you end up with 500 and 500, and neither one of them looks as good.
Totally.
But World Cup, I kind of use as my anchor to people to talk to the outside people. So Budweiser's been a big help, you know, because they sell so many beers at World Cup that they then in turn tell other people, like, this is the real deal. So he put me in touch with the Coke guys. So we are working down that path. It just takes time.
Totally. And you got to have the database of numbers to work with.
And you got to have the database of numbers. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say the World Cups the last couple of years, but especially 2019, just walking around, it really felt special again. You know, it was so good to see because the event was just alive, you know, and World Cup has always had, you know, people always ask, or when you do interviews, they ask, you know, what does World Cup mean to you? And it's hard to explain. It's something that you can sense when you're there. You know, there's just a feeling of this is the biggest tournament in the world. And there was definitely a few years where it lost that magic, you know. I think it was PSP a couple of years. They were going to that, what was the air base in Florida they were going to?
Fantasy of Flight.
Oh, yeah.
That field was pretty terrible, you know. And like, that was definitely you know, kind of in the dumps, you know, for World Cup. It was like, this ain't it, guys. You know, this isn't it. Yeah. But
it's tough. And I mean, I take my fair share of shots at PSP, but because they were my competition there for a little while. But I mean, in their defense, right, they went through that economic time where, you know, because they were at Disney at one point, right? So they pushed the envelope. But then when the economy broke, they had to just, you know, they had to survive. So I give them full credit for surviving.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, totally.
And kind of keep that going. But it does. Oh, I got a battery light going on here.
Keep that battery alive.
it does. You know, I think you get shell shocked, right? When you survive something like that, then you don't want to necessarily respend. And luckily, our ownership group is super passionate about paintball, and so they're not afraid to reinvest in the vision, right? Yeah. So, and I wanted the World Cup, I wanted all our events to be a spectacle, right? And so we go out of our way to try and how can we wow people? And literally, after every World Cup, we kind of have a meeting that's like, how are we going to rewow them now, right? Because every year we add something new and kind of try and do that.
Well, and that's so important in a time where things just go viral on the internet. You know, like you were talking about that stigma against Call of Duty or paintball because we're using guns and simulating. That's kind of, in a way, old thinking. And, you know, maybe back in the day you'd get turned down for being on ESPN or some sort of network. But we can do all of the promotions ourselves. You could post a video on YouTube and it could get millions of views.
Correct.
Get so much interest from our own marketing that we don't have to answer to anybody, you know. Obviously we want to represent the sport in a good light, of course, but you know, we have opportunity to do that.
Sure. We've actually been talking with OTT people. I mean, Go Sports is obviously a beautiful example of that, right? They can they can film that and do that and do whatever, right? So there are so many different opportunities. We were actually trying to get maybe on like not Netflix, on like the Roku or the Apple TV, and I know Grill Sports is currently working on that. So that would kind of help broaden the scope there.
Totally. I think today, in today's modern day and age, we have more eyes on paintball than there ever have been in the history of the game, in my opinion. I mean, we never had so many people with cameras filming paintball ever before than right now in today's day.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you see the line of media people that are trying to sign up to get in there, it drives me batty. But yes, definitely a lot of media people.
That's amazing too. Shout out to our media people because they're the ones that keep these stories alive too. You know, I'm always appreciative of the photographers because they capture big moments, especially, you know, if it's on the field, if, no matter what division it is, they capture these moments that are really special. They make the game look really cool. And they're getting that stuff out there to eyes that, you know, virgin paintball eyes, people that
I missed the game before. I missed the old days when we had magazines and, you know, like there was a lot more online sites you could go check out and things like that. We have a ton of photographers right now, which is amazing. And like I said, more cameras than there's ever been, but it's just, it was a different feel when you would go to like Barnes and Nobles and open up a magazine and look through it and that whole experience.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of my favorite moments. I was like, I was looking over some kid's shoulder that was reading a paintball magazine at Barnes and Noble, and he was like reading an article about me. Nice. And I was like, hey, and I was trying to like get him to see that it was me. He never got it. I ended up leaving unfulfilled, but
Tom, have you,
that's so cool, right? You go see yourself in a magazine.
For sure.
Have you thought of, because I know in some brief conversations we've had, I've heard you mention before the NXL wanting to be more of the, on the media side of things. Have you guys thought of doing some kind of print magazine that you can try to get into back into the major stores for all the big events?
We have. It's and we actually took it quite far there for a little while. But media, print media, really is challenged right now, right? Even like Playboy went out of business, right?
Yeah.
So
dude,
I have
that's
a hard time competing.
Shell shock.
Yeah. So it's a diminishing marketplace. But if you do see the magazines that are out there, a lot of them are like gun magazines or stuff like that. They're still holding strong, but it's it would be more likely to be a magazine that we sent out to our people that play paintball, or maybe all people that play paintball, so that it's a direct to consumer type of thing. I don't think there's enough people going out to buy magazines anymore to keep that alive, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's all like Instagram and digital now.
Gary Baum's got a great story. He said he had some guy that was on the cover of the magazine, right? Let's say it was Bob Long. And he showed it to him, and he's like, it's actually a kid. So he showed the kid his picture in the magazine. The kid's like, that's great. And Gary's like, you can have the magazine. The kid's like, no, I took a picture of it with his phone, right? So he didn't even want the magazine. He just wanted a picture of himself on the magazine. So
that's terrible.
That says something there. So that's a big
statement.
That
says something about what's going on with magazines.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
So I'll give you guys a question. I don't get to ask questions too often.
There we go.
All right.
So since that we've had a lot of people pass in the past couple of years, right? And so one of the things that I find frustrating is we don't really have an Academy Awards or an ESPYs or something that we can really celebrate paintball and the people of paintball, right? So and I'm sure a lot of the pro guys, they put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into playing paintball, right? And I don't know if their parents or their families truly understand how big they are in paintball, right?
Absolutely.
You feel like that's true?
So I agree. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to dedicate your life. I still remember, so when I used to work for my dad at construction, and I was like, hey, I got to leave. I got to go play this paintball tournament. And he's like, so when are you going to stop playing and start working for a living? Yeah. And I was like, look, man, the only reason I'm here is so I can afford to go play paintball this weekend. And so if we didn't have that, I wouldn't work at all.
Yeah, my dad knows because he traveled with me to all this stuff. But like my mom, she's like, you know, I think she knows a little bit more today now than ever. But she was always just like, what the hell are you doing, fool?
What are you doing? At my wedding, I invited all my family who I hadn't seen in forever, right? Because I'm always traveling on weekends. And they're like, who are all these people? Who are your friends? We didn't even think you had friends. And I'm like, the hell? You know, they just thought I was some weird outside guy playing paintball in the woods or something. So
that's funny.
I think we need a night to where we can celebrate like the best team of the year and the move of the year and player of the year, and also maybe some of the people like Chuck Hench. You know, Chuck Hench is someone that we don't talk about that much anymore, but he was an integral part of making paintball what it is today. Like a lifetime achievement award. And do some stuff to kind of celebrate that kind of stuff. Is that something you think the players would appreciate?
Well, absolutely. Tom, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Not only would the players appreciate it, that would be so good for the sport, because how do you get people interested in something? You need to create superheroes, right? People that people that don't understand paintball, if they see, wow, that professional athlete just got inducted to a paintball Hall of Fame, or he was given this award, that's actually, that holds weight, right? That is something that is seen in the eyes of the general public as that's something, you know? Whereas if we don't have anything to show for this stuff right now, you know, you go back 2007, 2006, 2005, moves and greatness during that era is often forgotten, right? It's just never spoken of again. And that should never happen in a sport. You can't have a sport with no history. So I think that would be an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
That the NXL or whatever the organization is that would make that happen. That'd be fantastic, man. I hope.
I think it would be cool to give us a night to kind of, and then we could webcast it, you know, Go Sports could webcast it. So everybody could see it and we could celebrate. Also, you know, the best fields, you know, best park in the country, whatever we ended up doing. So
It's such a, it's just such a boost for paintball. It's just such a huge boost, and it gives people aspiration to be able to shoot for that kind of stuff too.
Exactly.
I agree. Like we, I go to these city awards, or these shows or whatever, the, where I talk, where I meet with the cities, and they have an awards banquet every time. And like some city won best sports franchise or whatever. And it's just the, like San Diego County won for having the best place that can recruit teams come in, right? But they go and give a speech and they show some pictures of the people like doing stuff. Like you get almost choked up because you're like, wow, these people are doing some good stuff. You know, and so you could show some stuff. So I think it would be neat. But
that's a phenomenal,
I just now started digging into this. So I'm going to start a lobby here to make this happen. So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an NXL thing, right? Everybody always, anytime I pitch an idea, people are like, the NXL wants to like take over the planet. And we do. I do want to take over the planet. But, I mean, I'm a paintball fan as well, right? I, you know, I don't want the Chuck Henches and the Lane Wrights to be forgotten.
That's right.
And I want to recognize the good people. I was so mad we had that incident at Vegas, you know, where there was a whatever, a brawl, brawl in the stands or whatever.
Happens, man, at sporting events.
Everybody – I saw people post stuff. They're like, well, this is why paintball will never be a real sport. And I'm like, there's no fighting at football or any of that stuff.
Ron Artest literally went into the stands, and he's an NBA player, and literally beat up fans, you know, and the NBA is doing this fine.
If
anything, now, I don't advocate like that, by the way. I don't advocate that. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, luckily, paintball guys are all little.
I know. That's so funny.
I can see Alex jumping into the stands to try and whoop somebody now.
That's what we love about Tom. That's what I love about you, dude, is you are a man of the people. You're a man for the players. You're a player who played pro paintball, and you're still in the industry, and you're for the players. And that's also why we started this company and this show, is to remember the heritage, remember the lineage.
Well, that was the other thing I was thinking about. Like, that's, there's been a lot of these groups that are starting, like, the webcasts and all that stuff, and that's keeping paintball alive, right? And it takes time and money out of your stuff. We should recognize that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we need to celebrate the people who are actually promoting paintball, and then maybe the people who are not doing it will try and do some stuff to try and help themselves move paintball forward, right? Because they'll see that they're not being recognized, or that there's someone else being called out for doing it. But anyhow, so I missed the finals games between for the Ironman to win, right? So I'm up here dealing with these guys, jackasses that want to kill each other, and I miss the game. I get back, and I'm like, ah, damn it. So I'm a paintball fan, not just an NXL guy. But
speaking of awards, I brought this up. I made a little post about it, but it would be really cool if we did something, obviously, for Tim Montressor, and I think something along the lines of an Ambassador's Award, you know, at the end of the year.
So that, very fair. That's kind of what sparked my thing, is we want to have a Montressor Award. And of course, I'd obviously have to, you know, you just can't use people's names and different stuff, right? But I have to talk to his family and stuff. But I think he of all people has earned that, right? It's funny, like, I felt like I had a special relationship with Tim, right? Like, we were friends for a long time, and we ran leagues together. You know, I run the league, and we talk a lot about different stuff. Yeah. And then you see the outpouring of stuff online, and he was that person to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Like I don't know how they had the time, because I took up at least an hour a day from him. So yeah, it shows how special he was. I would like to have an award for other people that kind of do that, right?
What an amazing guy Tim was, dude. His soul is just unmatched. Just one of the most happy-go-lucky dudes you'll ever meet in your life.
Super happy.
Yeah.
Super happy all the time. I really appreciated that. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. So yes, I would love to have an award like that. And so that goes back to that awards night, right?
Absolutely.
Where we could get all the faithful in there and kind of do something. So
yeah, Tom, how far are we from making that something like that happen to where we do have this? I mean, what does it take logistically to pull the trigger on that? Because I think it's a fantastic idea. It'd be great for the game.
The first part would be getting everybody to agree they want to do it, right?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do it? Who wouldn't want
I guess the people that probably have to pay for it.
Exactly.
I just got to get some industry support and some player support. And this is the first time I've really talked about it publicly. I started calling some of the industry people last week to kind of see what the feasibility was. And then there's the other thing. So there is already a paintball Hall of Fame. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
That's right.
So there is a paintball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And it is in conjunction with Living Legends. So they do it at a big game. So far, a lot of their stuff has been definitely concentrated towards that side and concentrating on like some of the founding fathers of the game, like Tom Kay and Bud Orr and those kinds of people.
I'm going to have to stop you here. If we don't get Bob Long in that Hall of Fame, we're going to have problems. That man has to be in there.
That man has to be. Well, that's our point of view, right? Which is the tournament side of you. But there's a lot of other parts of paintball that kind of go into it. But so maybe we do it in conjunction with them, or maybe we do it after the World Cup, like the Monday night after the World Cup. So then we could celebrate the people that won the World Cup as well as the people that played all year.
Yeah, or whatever. Visit Sun on the Beach.
Yeah.
We do it right at Sun on the Beach, dude, right there in Old Kissimmee.
Yep. Yep. So I don't know. Those are my ideas. You know what I mean? Kind of going through it. So
I love it. And what's the hardest part about being in your shoes and running the NXL? Like what are the big hurdles that you're obviously we have COVID right now, but when it's normal, what is the biggest hurdles you have to jump running these leagues?
Am I allowed to cuss on these things? You know, it's a lot, but the biggest thing is probably the conflicts of interest inherent inside of paintball, right? So we have, I have owners who also own teams. I have sponsors who have companies. At one point in time, I had an owner that also owned a company. And so every time you talk to somebody, so let's say I talk to you tomorrow and you want to have a sidearm. I need to know if you guys already have a sidearm in the works.
And a patent on it, you know, to where no one else
can take it. And a patent on it, right? So that is the reality of my life, is when this person's pitching me something, what is his vested interest?
Right.
Yeah. And so I get that's what I deal with constantly. And luckily, the owners are one of the big proofs, right? Impact and Heat are two of the best teams in the league. And three of my owners or four of the owners are all part of those organizations.
Yeah.
And so my analogy is, if they owned a car wash and they wanted to tell the guy that ran the car wash to put in a new soap and we're only going to be open from 9 to 11, the guy would just do it, right?
Yeah.
But when they ask me to do something, I'm like, so what is the goal here, right? Even if they don't know it, is this going to benefit them some way? Is this going to do something? And they mean, they by far are the hugest paintball advocates, right? But I have to think about all these things it's going to be perceived. Yeah. And so we've had a really good relationship. You know, we argue. I don't always see eye to eye. They don't always like my ideas. Yeah. But they let us move forward with them, you know what I mean? And kind of just lobby me just like everybody else. So, that's probably the hardest part. And then, and so I try and stay positive all the time, right? I think I try and be happy, right? It's my goal. When you read the stuff online, you see all the shots that gets taken at you constantly. Sometimes you get a little frustrated. You're like, why am I doing all this? No one's ever going to like it. I had some guy today, I'm not going to say his name, but it might've been yesterday, but he just like wore out the NXL for a long time. And then he said, but you, Tom, you're a good person. Thank you for throwing that in for me.
That's got to be
the NXL
brutal,
sucks,
dude.
But you personally are a fine guy.
Yeah, and you are. So yeah, you're outstanding.
Yeah, you're outstanding. So I always end up writing something crappy right after World Cup. Because after World Cup, I'm tired and I'm beat up and I feel like we did a great job, right? And then I go online and someone's going to write something stupid and I'm like, really? Yeah. And then I always reply back and you just should never reply back, right? So then I end up in this, I end up in a Facebook war with some kid at 9 a.m. the Monday after World Cup. So yeah, that should never happen.
That's part of what makes you a great president of the league.
You really do care, man.
You really do. And so it hurts you as a person because you put a lot of your time and effort and you've put most of your life into running paintball leagues and trying to do the best you can for the community. So I get it, but Tom, there's going to always be these negative naysayers. Don't go giving yourself a hard
time. Yeah, I know. I want to convince every one of them. I want to convince every one of them are right.
Yeah. Well, you got a hard job, dude. You get it from so many different angles, just getting things thrown at you, and you have to navigate that.
And you guys said something earlier that as soon as you start hearing a player talk about the reffing or whatever, it's really easy just to turn those guys off. And sometimes I guess we all do, right? Because we've heard the same, like, worst call ever, right? And I'm always like, well, there's actually this Jeremy Saul thing where he was out in the woods shooting people and we didn't know about it. That was a pretty bad call, right? When we missed that.
That was bad.
That was bad, right? God.
That was in 2000, 2001?
I don't know.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. See, I get as many shots in as I can. I love it because I shoot them all the time.
I got to say, I did say that I shut off, but that's as a coach, right? So, like, the teams that I coach, I don't want them to be focused on it. Your position's different.
Yeah.
It's easy for the promoter to do it, too, because you hear it so often. And, you know, let's even say 50% of the time it's wrong, right? They're wrong, right? It's the shooter's perspective. They think everything's a certain way, right? But you really got to listen to it and reinvest in it and kind of go back and kind of reevaluate what's going on and look at it.
How do you think the league can improve the reffing?
Ooh, good question. It's complicated, like everything, but we need a more formalized system of training than what we currently have. Yeah. So we're currently working on a thing where, and I'll give you an example. So you come and you say, that was the worst call ever. That guy doesn't even know the rule book. I want to be able to pull up and say, well, actually, Bob Long took three classes and got an A in it and knows the rule book, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, I don't know that answer, right? I go up and I'm like, hey, Bill, did you make this call? You know what I mean? And some of the calls are crazy, right? Like, and so you're like, I don't even know how we got to that call. Mm-hmm. So I would like a better training system and a more advanced training. So far, paintball, and this is as much my fault as anybody's, right? But we are basically trying to recruit people to referee.
Yes.
And so we have a lot of entry level training, but we don't have advanced level training. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is, as much crap as the referees get, they want to do a good job.
Of course.
They're not doing this because, you know what I mean, they need to get out of the house or something. They want to come and be good paintball referees. And we need to train them to do it the way we want them to do it and make them better. So give them the tools to make themselves better referees.
For sure.
The solution online or the solution is always to fire the referee, right? Dock his pay, fire the guy. And I'm like, yeah, that works.
Yeah.
And so we really just need to improve the training system and kind of make it good. And to be honest with you, everybody thinks I get so much grief at the tournaments. And really, most of the players are pretty positive. As long as I got my dog with me, they leave me alone. But, they come and they understand the reffing problems. And I mean, I do get some people that are pretty mad at the time, but they go through it. And I'll give you a good story. So this year at World Cup, I had a VIP walking around with me that was from an outside industry place. And I'm not going to say who. But so I literally was trying to show this guy a paintball tournament and why they should sponsor it and work with it in the future. And I walk into the pits and some team has just lost because of a bad call. Mm-hmm. And so they come at me. They're like, oh, my God, there's Tom. We're going straight to the top. Let's get this guy. And they start just wearing me out. No. And I'm like, hey, this is Bill from Unnamed Company. And they instantly stopped and were like, great event, great this, great whatever, you know. And but I give them points for that, right, because they can see the big picture, right? I wasn't going to fix the call, right? I was not going to go back in time and fix the call. So they instantly went into the thing, and I even used the point. I said, hey, if we'd have had a paved sidewalk here for these guys to walk to, they would be less mad at me now. And they're like, yes, we'd be less mad at him now. I said, so, because it all adds up, right? You get a bad call, you get screwed at the paint truck, the guy in the parking lot was a jackass. adds up to you having a bad time.
I will say the NXL Pro Field is doing an astounding job. The instant replay is huge for what we do. I feel like reffing has never been better than it is right now. And whatever you guys are doing with the pro guys, we really appreciate it because it's going well.
Yeah.
It's retention. You know, we keep those guys now because we're paying them a little bit more. We're trying to treat them better. And so they stay. And once you, you know, it's obvious like anything, you guys wouldn't want to turn your team over every week. Right. Yeah. So we don't want to turn our referees over every week.
They're doing an astounding job.
And I give a lot of credit to Jason. He's done such a tremendous job. He truly cares to get all the calls right. And he misses some stuff. We all do. Again, it's a really tough game to referee, but Jason, I think has brought the integrity of the professional field up many notches. I really do.
Yeah. He's the one that has the bad job. Because you guys really do yell at him, right?
He has the worst job.
I mean, you know, between Todd and Jeremy alone, I would have killed myself, right? Just to have the, and if those two play each other, I guess one of them is going to be happy when they end. But, I mean, that would be brutal. So
it's a tough job, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough job. That is really a tough job. You also have to support your referees, right? You just can't throw them under the bus. Of course. Right. So it's a.
And it's, again, it's, you know, it's not like being a paintball referee is this highly coveted job too. You know, like you said, you're recruiting players. So you're recruiting referees. So it's a tough conundrum because you kind of have what you have to work with. So you got to try to train them better. And, you know, it is a difficult thing and hopefully, you know, that'll end up evolving. I don't know if there's certain types of perks or maybe in this show that we do this Hall of Fame type thing, you start to recognize the referees
that could be pretty badass,
you know. Again, it's something to attain to be, it's some kind of accomplishment.
I think a lot of the referees want to get on the pro field. I think the pro field has become prestigious and those guys get, you know, they get some perks on their end, they get financial perks, better rooms and all that stuff. So yeah, that's something we're working on. We have a guy named CJ that handles the referees and manages them. He does a great job. So he's always looking for ways to improve it. You got to stay focused. You got to stay on it. It's easy to just get complacent.
The last couple of years have been phenomenal with the NXL. And I know, Tom, you got to leave in a few minutes here. You're on a strict schedule and you got some plans this evening. So is there any new news that you would like to share with us for the NXL for this year? Obviously, we heard some stuff, but is there anything you want to share with us?
Well, the big thing is to stop the rumors that the World Cup is canceled, right? Yeah. I keep hearing that, right? Every day.
Paintball Troll just posted something that NXL was World Cup might be canceled.
Yeah, if you can go to the Instagram at Paintball Troll, you could see Tom is riding a donkey, and the donkey's name is NXL, and then it has an apple, and the apple's the World Cup that the donkey is following. So you could check that out on Instagram.
Is that really on there?
Yeah,
I went on there the other day, and I got to admit, some of the people are pretty good. They get crafty, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are funny. I mean, they're mostly shots at me, but it's pretty good.
It's got the apple and it's the NXL World Cup and you're just like dangling it in front of us, but you're saying that you're not dangling it and that we're going to be there.
Well, plus it's not a dangle for me. It's a dangle for baseball, right?
I
want the world to be excited. You know what I mean? Like, even though, I love World Cup. To me, it's definitely the coolest thing in the planet.
But back to the question. My fault for getting us off track. Any exciting news? You did kind of talk about a little something with the possible award show kind of thing. Give us some juice.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything truly exciting now.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on the lay low. Oh, yeah. I'll give you something exciting. So we've invited that you guys probably are going to hate, we've invited the European teams.
Yeah,
to come play pro, the pro European teams to come play pro at World Cup since their season is kind of in shambles. So
I don't have an unlimited.
I feel like some people are like, I don't know what that's going to do to us. So we actually, our plan was we were going to have the top Latin American team, the top Asian team, and the top two European teams come play at World Cup to bring us to 24.
I love it.
So, but now we're going to add the top team from Latin America, top team, and an unlimited top amount of top teams from Europe to come and compete and make it like a true World Cup.
I think it's amazing. I think teams that get a chance from Europe, from Asia, from South America, wherever, if they can get a chance to come and play at the biggest event in the world, that's amazing. I want them here. I want them all here. I want I want as many pro teams to come and play World Cup. If there is a way we can kind of make that to where it wouldn't mess with the season standings, and there's ways to do it, I'm all for that kind of stuff, because I think in the long run, it's good for the sport.
Totally.
More yeah. We need to have everybody involved. Yes. Yeah. America is not the, you know, the all end all to paintball. Right. So we need to kind of think of it from a world perspective. So
speaking of that, Tom, and again, I do know you have to go. So like I have one more question. I think maybe Tyler does.
I got
too,
one
but,
more.
Yeah. But speaking of the, you know, foreign paintball, essentially, you said there's going to be one more tournament. You think you guys are trying to make one European event happen this year.
Correct.
Any idea where that might be? What might it entail?
It's Barcelona, and it's the October weekend. I don't know. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But it's already been announced as though, because we had to cancel Barcelona the first time, and we moved it back. But Europe's a little bit more of a challenge because they actually have lots of different countries that
have
to travel through.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
yeah, definitely. Okay, and then my last question is, do you remember saving Marcelo's life in Europe after that volcano?
I do.
Oh my God, I meant to talk to you about this, Tom. Yeah.
Yes, I drove you like 6 hours or something.
No, it was like a 12-hour road trip from Malaga.
I know it was long,
From Malaga.
Good God.
All the way to Barcelona.
With
Lisbon Benfica.
Got it.
Yeah,
I remember thinking, how did I get suckered into this?
Dude,
it was a long ride.
It was a long ride. So here's what happened. I was over there with Scott Kemp, and, you know, the volcano happened. You know, all the airports got shut down. Flights were canceled. Everything was in complete chaos. And at the time, I was 18 years old. You know, I'm just a kid. It's like my first year over in Europe. And all of a sudden, Scott gets a flight home. He paid like $4,000
bailed
for a flight home. And so he bailed, and I couldn't afford a $4,000 flight. So I kind of panicked. And I remember hearing you were on the phone in the lobby, where I was also in the lobby trying to figure out what I can do for flights. And I was told that the only option was to get to Barcelona, and I would be able to get out of Barcelona for a reasonable price. And I heard you said something about, you were trying to organize your flights, and you said, okay, I'm going to Barcelona. And I just said, excuse me, Tom, yeah, I don't even remember if I knew your name, but I literally, like, I'm Marcelo, we're both Americans over here. Like, maybe you want to help me out. I need to get to Barcelona too. And you were super cool, man. You were just like, yeah, no problem, man. And you opened your doors literally and let me in and drove me all the way up there and
gave
me home. And it was like, that was my first encounter meeting you, a complete stranger. You had no idea who I was.
This says a lot about Tom, right?
It does. I've always appreciated that, because it was just, genuinely kind of you to help save my life.
Well, there wasn't very many Americans there, so I had to save somebody. So
that's it. Totally. Yeah, Tommy, man, thank you so much for everything you do for paintball from the bottom of both of our hearts and the paintball community, man. The NXL, thank you, everybody that comes together to put these productions together. I know it's a lot of work, and I know we're navigating crazy times, but we just have so much appreciation for you, and thank you for coming on the show, brother.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys very much. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, Tommy. Right. Absolutely. We'll have you on again soon.
All right, buddy. No problem. Anytime.
Peace. All right, brother. Have a good one. Stay safe.
All right. Yep.
Peace.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That was an epic episode with Tom Cole, president of the NXL. We thank him so much for coming on the show. Even though it was short, it was very sweet, and I feel like we got a lot of amazing information from him. And what a cool idea to have some sort of award ceremony to recognize industry leaders and top players. I think that's amazing. We need to make sure we solidify the history of the game. That is a huge mission here at Play the Game Paintball. And that's part of the reason we started this show, is to make sure that these stories are told and remembered to future generations of the sport. So we're going to push that one until it comes to fruition with your guys' help. If you guys see Tom Cole, make sure to nudge him and say, hey, we need to make sure that happens. With that said, guys, thank you guys again, as always. If you guys would like, you could head over to ptgpaintball.com and check out our store. We have a lot of merchandise. We have all of our shows on there. We've got our YouTube channel on there as well. And we also have our Patreon. So if you guys would like to become a supporter of the show in any capacity, we would greatly appreciate it. We are so thankful for you guys. You know, Tyler always says it. You guys are the lifeblood of this entire thing. So we're having fun with it. We're going to continue to be here for a long time, and we just want to continue to build the PTG fam. Our website is brought to you by Rusty Glaze. Rusty Glaze owns Constant Pursuit. That is his web design company. If you guys are interested in getting a website, he's your guy for sure. I know a lot of people during these COVID times have kind of started their own business and are pursuing different passions, and often they need websites to go with it. promise you guys, Rusty is definitely the guy. Everything that he does is just elite work. Again, you guys could see firsthand on our website how good of a job he's done. But my favorite part about it is that everything is so user-friendly. Once he designs your website and hands it over, it's incredibly easy for you guys to navigate. Tyler and myself do most of the updates on the website now after, you know, Rusty did all of the initial groundwork. And it's amazing. It's really easy for us. It makes it convenient to run a business. And yeah, you guys can check it out. Rusty does much of the paintball web design for a lot of the community. So again, if you guys are interested, you could find out more information about that at constantpursuit.com. And until next time, we will see you guys very, very soon.